Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. The one good thing we can take away from Kamala Harris's performance is that she doesn't get in the way of the Big Local, which happens weekdays, 4:30, where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start with a Bellingham hate crime after a business was hit with swastika stickers. Claudia Murphy is the Bellingham Police Department Public Information Officer, and she tells Cairo 7 TV.
Placing a swastika sticker or anything with a swastika on it is absolutely a hate crime. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is a hate crime, pure and simple, and so that's how we're investigating it.
Well, I mean, what if you put it on the doorway of someone who's a Nazi? I feel like that might not be considered a hate crime. Although, if it would be, that's a very ironic hate crime.
The swastika hating on the Nazi?
It's like, I'm a Nazi, I'm celebrating. I mean, this stuff is despicable. And as a Jew, the only way I can talk about it and not want to just cry is by, you know, highlighting some of the absurdity that there are people out there who legitimately think that you're going to get away with this kind of nonsense. Now, the sticker actually said, in addition to the swastika, it actually had words on it, "We are everywhere," which, number one, is just not true, thankfully. And number two, as far as threats go, that's a bit on the nose, right? It's a bit sort of non-threatening because it's kind of hackneyed. And so I look at this and I keep saying to myself, thank God there aren't actually a lot of losers like this who go ahead and do stuff, terrorize communities. In this case, you know, it's not necessarily terrorizing in a traditional sense as if they were breaking in and, you know, trying to harm people. But the intent is very clearly trying to intimidate the store owner. I don't know why they went after Paul Hansen. He is the owner of the Village Books and Paper Dreams business, but he came to his store over the weekend and realized that these stickers were placed all over his business.
Good Samaritans came and took them off before we got here Saturday morning.
So that's awesome. People actually showed up to help. And he says what we hope everyone would say in a circumstance like this, which is, we have zero tolerance for this kind of nonsense.
We stand for a place in this community where people can come with different ideas to be able to have civil conversations. And anonymous stickers to make people afraid is not ever a way to go.
Now, they weren't the only business, apparently, that was hit. Alexis Sortor manages Bellingham's Brandywine Kitchen and says, while we don't believe we were directly targeted, they do say the attack is personal.
Well, we are a black-owned business, so, you know, that definitely makes it even more important to us.
So why do you not think you were directly targeted? How do you know? It's a black-owned business, and someone put a swastika sticker. If I, you know, showed up to my office and there was a swastika sticker on my door, I would assume, because I'm Jewish, that I was being personally targeted. So that part doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe they're giving the benefit of the doubt to the person who's sending the hate crime message.
I don't think we owe the benefit of the doubt to people who put swastika stickers on your property, but okay. And she, too, said the community stepped up to say that this is not the community for it.
While I was obviously very, very angry, I also felt a lot of community support. Someone actually came in today and left a really nice note for us. And, you know, so that love is stronger, I think.
And you know what's always kind of curious to me is when covering these stories, there tends to be a focus, rightly so, obviously, on the act itself, right? Someone putting a swastika on a door, or one dude standing, because we did this story a few months ago in Woodinville, just a guy who was standing, I believe, with a sign that literally had a swastika or had some sort of bigoted message, and it was one guy. And people who were driving by this dude were just yelling at him, right? That's, to me, the story. Not that you have an individual, in this case, they believe it's some guy who was seen on surveillance video. It was a man wearing a mask resembling a human skull. and he was in and around the area at around the time they believed that the swastikas were put up there, so they're obviously looking at him. That, to me, obviously is important, but the bigger story to me is how communities react and how people react. This was not a hate crime in the sense of someone getting physically assaulted, thankfully. This is a guy putting a sticker or a poster up. And Bellingham has seen that. Mercer Island, Woodinville, like I said, they've seen that. And I love the fact that the community comes together and says, no, we're not going to allow this here. This is sorry. I know you think you may be that we are everywhere. No, you're not. In fact, we are everywhere. The people who push back against this nonsense. And so, as a Jew, that's what I guess, choose to focus on in cases like this. Now, there are some people, because we've seen fake hate crimes in the past, that when they get a story like this, the immediate reaction is to sort of say, well, this is a hoax. It's a false flag operation. And whenever I hear that, it drives me absolutely mad because, number one, there's no proof of that in this case. So why not just show compassion until proven otherwise? Because you know that the police are looking into this. And if there's nothing on the surface that would indicate to any reasonable person that this is a hoax story, why not reserve that and just be like, yeah, something bad happened and we want to stand with the community? Because every once in a while we get those kinds of reactions. And again, not widespread. But, you know, also, even just from an optics perspective, let me try to make this argument to the people who want to claim that this is some sort of false flag. Why would you want to send the impression that folks won't care if this happens in a community? Because presumably, if you knew that this was a true story and you felt it was a true story, not a false flag, presumably you would get all upset and call it out, right? And so why not just go with that instinct first, or just shut up and not put out any sort of nonsense? Because you know how it's going to get pulled is, conservatives are lying. They think it's a hoax because they don't believe that there's any hate. There are bigots out there. Is the level of bigotry to the point where Democrats want you to believe? No, it isn't. Does this kind of story happen with great frequency? No, it doesn't. So let's not give ammunition to any side to make this political. Unless you have proof. If you have proof, go ahead and contact the Bellingham Police Department. These stories really do. I'm always conflicted on how to talk about them because I'm personally connected. When there's a swastika, I have a personal reason to get either incredibly upset or just not even want to talk about it because it's depressing.
Well, I like that you look at the community reaction as part of the story. A lot of people don't do that.
That's the only part that's interesting to me, unless the hate crime results in someone physically getting hurt. The emotional toll, there's no doubt about that. But in this case, it sounds like it was just one guy who was putting up stickers. And if you don't feel like you're personally targeted and it was just kind of random, you're not going to have the same level of fear than if you literally thought, oh my God, this is a direct threat to me because I'm Jewish or black or gay or whatever it happens to be. So in cases where that doesn't exist, I prefer to focus on the community and the response, because that is glass half full, Jason.
Wow, we're bringing him back?
Just for this story.
Wow, he's been gone a while.
And then finally, I have a question that I want answered from the public, sending us text messages at 1-800-465-8770. The Everett Herald is reporting that a dude is accused of trying to steal about $750 worth of computers from Post Middle School in Sultan early yesterday morning. He caused about $6,400 worth of damage in the process. Now, first of all, if you're going to steal computers or any kind of electronics, don't go to a public school because they don't have good equipment. If you're going to go to a private school. You shouldn't go to any place, but I'm just saying it seems rather silly to me to go to a public school for this. Here is my question. Should there be an added punishment to the kinds of degenerates, truly awful human beings, who choose to target a school. And we can throw into the mix people who choose to target a little league, like breaking into the shed or the, you know, the snack bar and stealing all the... Should there be an added penalty to that kind of just nasty behavior?
That's a great question.
I honestly don't know the answer.
You don't lean either way?
No, because I would be a hypocrite, because I don't necessarily like the idea of hate crimes getting an added punishment. I just think you should lift the entire punishment for all of them, because I don't like sort of litigating beliefs, as despicable as they are. But I don't know. Going and stealing from a school or a little league, that or a charity, I don't, there's something about that.
When have you ever backed sort of things for children or charities or...
That's the other weird thing. I don't even care about kids. Whatever. But there is just something wrong in this case. I don't like it. And so I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. We got a text. I'd be satisfied if he went to jail at all. In this region, that's rare. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. In Northgate, if you support cops, you could be nearly murdered. And it's not me being hyperbolic. It was the actual experience of two grandparents who were the victims of a drive-by shooting, all because they had a Blue Lives Matter flag on their property. 9 shots were fired at this home. 6 bullets, according to Cairo 7 TV, actually hit the walls of the house, and the couple was inside at the time. Now, thankfully, neither of them were hurt. Now, they had flown a rather large version of the Blue Lives Matter flag, the Blue Line flag, but they had been harassed by some folks. Someone actually tagged their home with ACAB. So the flag made the anti-cop lunatics upset.
We didn't say anything to anybody or argue with anybody. It was just our opinion.
But you're not allowed to have certain opinions in the city of Seattle, not when activists are empowered to do what it is they do in this city. Breaking into businesses and trying to burn them down, trying to murder police officers with very little consequence. They don't even get called out by city leaders. So they feel emboldened to pull this kind of nonsense. But this poor couple decided, look, I don't want any trouble, but I do want to support police officers. So they took the flag down and they put up a smaller one. But early Saturday morning, a dark-colored sedan drove by and just shot at this home.
I'm fearful because I don't know who it would be that would get that angry.
And the police really care that this couple backs them. But they had some advice.
The police said, as much as we appreciate your support, we tell our families don't fly them.
Imagine living in a city or a county or a state or a country in which you hear that. It is too dangerous to support police openly. Imagine what it feels. Oh, we do live in a city, in a county, in a state, in a country, in which you're not allowed to do that safely.
About twice a week, someone coming by and derogatory remarks saying, take it down. I didn't argue with anybody.
You're not allowed to support police in Seattle. I haven't seen a single tweet, let alone statement, coming from any activist in the community who takes a position in opposition to the police condemning this. I haven't seen any council members talk about this. I haven't seen anything coming from the mayor talking about this. And when you don't condemn this kind of stuff, the same way when you don't condemn the riots, guess what happens? It continues. And it continues some more. These two people, this couple, lucky to be alive right now. And their only crime was to support the police. Shame on the city leaders who stay silent and will, by the way, continue to stay silent. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into the day's Amy Coney Barrett confirmation, play you some of the highlights, play you some of the reactions, play you some of the implications as to what this all means. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show on AM 770 KTTH.